House Republicans voted last week to remove Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her position as their conference chair. That move was in response to Cheney's criticism of former President Donald Trump and his false claims about fraud during the 2020 election. Here's a listen to Cheney talking with reporters just after that vote on Wednesday.
I think that it is an indication of where the Republican Party is, and I think that the party is in a place that we've got to bring it back from, and we've got to get back to a position where we are a party that can fight for conservative principles, that can fight for substance. We cannot be dragged backward by the very dangerous lies of a former president.
Other Republicans, including House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, say President Trump will continue to be a leading voice in the Republican Party. You're part of this conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think of House Republicans removing Liz Cheney from her leadership post? If you tend to vote Republican, do you think the party should keep itself close to Trump or move in a new direction? Does your vote depend on what direction that ends up being? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Our guest for this conversation is Tim Hagel. He's an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you.
Let's start with this conference chair position that Cheney held in Congress. It isn't really familiar in households necessarily as far as political jobs go. Give us a sense of what the conference chair does and how significant it is to be removed from that spot.
Well, as far as some of the details, I suppose one minor detail is that the conference chair supposedly chairs the meetings when the conference, meaning all the Republican members of the House, get together for one of their meetings. And so in that sense, it's kind of a procedural type of position. But more generally, as one of the top leadership positions for, in this case, Republicans, and this would be true for, you know, Democrat leadership too, is that you want to have people that are can talk to the other members, but also talk to the media and talk to constituents, that you're sort of a much more visible kind of position there. And that gives you more responsibility for communicating the message that the GOP Republican Party wants to convey.
Put this into context for us, then. How important is it, or how often does it happen that someone is removed from that place as opposed to stepping down?
Well, it's probably going to be more likely the stepping down thing, where if the conference for some reason loses faith in somebody, or maybe the person has, if not a personal scandal, some sort of problem with the media, that something comes out, that something happened, and it kind of is embarrassing to the party, the person would probably step down. In this case, Cheney decided not to do that, and so it forced the Republicans' hand to vote her out, which became very visible. And of course, the media picked up on that, and you saw a lot of people pushing this, say, oh, well, look, this is, you know, a break, a dissension in the Republican Party, and so forth. And I don't think it's quite that serious, but it is something that's fairly unusual, where the party does have to take that kind of visible rejection of one of its leadership people.
You do sound a little skeptical when you say, ah, this is a break, or this is a fracturing of the GOP. Why do you think that it might not be as serious as some people are assessing?
Well, you know, I think that there are going to be other members of the House that probably also feel the way Cheney does. The problem with what Cheney did was she was just more vocal about it and decided to sort of publicize her position in ways that then created this impression of greater dissension in the Republican Party. Now, of course, the Republican Party, what they want to do is basically have a unified message. And they're still trying to deal with how to handle Trump. And of course, some members of the House and some members of the Senate, too, for that matter, are four square behind Trump and all of this, and sort of basically repeating the things that we saw from last fall and through January. Other members, you know, not so much, or they didn't like the way Trump handled it for one reason or another. And especially some feel, and I've heard that this is Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's position, that he's upset with Trump because basically feels that Trump lost the two Georgia Senate seats that went to Democrats this last time around. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But on the other hand, there's certainly a large number of Republican voters that still do like Trump and still do think that there were problems with the 2020 election. Whether they were as serious as a stolen election is, you know, most people don't believe that, but some people still do. But you don't want to basically get your voting base upset with you when you're coming up on midterm elections. And of course, we're always coming up on elections of one sort or another. But still, you don't want to alienate a group. And Trump certainly has something to do with that. You'd like to see, to the extent that people still like Trump, you'd like to see him out there helping people that are running in various seats, particularly close seats, because the Republicans feel they have a pretty good chance of retaking the House in the 2022 elections.
Yeah, there's no evidence that there was any fraud to the degree that President Trump claimed in the 2020 election. We're talking with Tim Hagel, who's an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. We're talking about the future of the Republican Party here on Central Time. What do you want to see most from the GOP in the future? How can the party achieve the goals that you hope for? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@WPR.org. We've got Annie from Green Bay ready to join the conversation. Hey, Annie.
Hello?
Hi there.
How are you?
Good, thanks. What are you thinking about when we have this conversation?
Liz Cheney. I am very respectful of her. I admire her a great deal for her moxie and taking a stand, and even though she has to do it all alone, good for her. I am a Democrat. I do not vote Republican, but I have a strong admiration for her, and I do not think it was right what they did to her. And if she ran for president in the future, I like what she did so much that I might even vote for her.
All right, Annie, thank you for helping us understand what your perspective is. And you know, Tim, I hear Annie saying, I think that she did the right thing. And yet what we're seeing in the House is kind of this thing that if you don't support Trump publicly, then you're not going to be in leadership positions. Is that a fair assessment?
I think for the most part it is, but it's not exactly new that we basically see that for Democrats as well and Republicans in the past, that again, the idea behind leadership is you want people that are going to have and present a unified message, whatever that message happens to be. And right now, the Republican message is complicated, of course, by Trump and sort of what your position is on that. And Cheney just wasn't having it. And so she decided to speak out. And you can characterize that if you want to as the right thing to do. Certainly in terms of her Cheney's position, they say this is what she believes, she's going to not back down from telling people about it. OK, but if you're in a leadership position, the expectation is that you're sort of on message, whatever that message happens to be. So for Cheney to stay in leadership, she would have needed to tone that down a little bit, not change her position necessarily, but not also go out and sort of advertise it in ways that shows that there's some potential dissension among the Republican Party. I can't think of any specific examples, but you know, similar things have undoubtedly happened among Democrats as well. Again, the idea being is that when you have, you're part of party leadership, you need to be part of that team.
Well, and that's exactly what Elise Stefanik of New York, who's taking Cheney's place as the conference chair, it's exactly what that representative has said she'll do, that she'll put aside her individual inclinations and speak for the party.
Yeah, and one interesting aspect of this, and many people pointed this out, is that Liz Cheney, you know, by various measures, is much more conservative than Stefanik, and yet gets replaced by her. Well, you know, Stefanik is basically saying, okay, well, maybe there are some issues that I would disagree with, but I'm now part of the leadership team, and so you kind of tamp those down a little bit. But to whatever extent maybe they became a problem in the future, then maybe she would step down. So again, again, if you're part of leadership, that you want to stay on message, and this is just no surprise.
We have James on the line from Milwaukee now. Welcome to Central Time, James.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I had a little bit of a different perspective. I think that it's Liz Cheney who's lost touch with modern Republicans and not the other way around. I think that the 2016 election and the 2015 primary was a major inflection point for the values of the Republican Party. And I think Cheney and her cohorts like Jeb Bush lost that ideological battle. And this is no more representing a schism between Republicans than Jeb Bush's defeat in 2015 did, because Liz Cheney has staked out only a few policy positions that distinguish her from other Republicans, and they're not very attractive to Republican voters. She loves to invade Middle Eastern countries and extend our current wars, And then she has a real personal animus towards Donald Trump. And those seem to be the only things that distinguish her from other conservatives besides, you know, like you say, she has some conservative positions, but those don't necessarily align with modern Republicans. The social issues that she's more conservative on, they aren't as important anymore. So in short, I just think that she's out of touch with the Republican voter and that there's not much of a schism within the party.
James, thank you so much for that. I want to give Tim Hagel a chance to respond to James saying it's Liz is out of touch.
Yeah, and to a certain extent, that's certainly true. That again, part of the Republican base now, and you may argue whether it actually is part of the base or if the base is splintering, but there's a good chunk of people that were voting Republican, especially in 2016, if not 2020, that were basically of the idea that we like Trump. Sometimes we may not like his personal style, but we like the fact that he fights. And that kind of became a cliche for a lot of people, even people on the right, kind of the never Trumper, saying, oh, well, he fights, that excuses a lot. Well, it kind of does, because one of the things that a lot of Republicans were concerned about for a number of years was that they were electing people who didn't seem to fight hard for whatever it was. Now, I think that a lot of people would argue that, well, maybe Trump fights, but he maybe fought a little bit too hard, or he fought the wrong battle when it came, especially post-election 2020 and what was going on there through January until he was no longer in office. But still, the idea that they want to see, they being the Republican base, want to see somebody that's going to fight hard for their positions. And for somebody like Liz Cheney to minimize that and just all say, oh, well, it's Trumpism and it's not good, that they're not going to like that too much.
We're talking about what happens next and what Republicans need to do to unify their members. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Tim Hagel is a political scientist at the University of Iowa. And we're talking about former President Trump and the future of the Republican Party. You can weigh in at 800-642-1234. Do you think this is a good direction for the party to go? Or do you wish Republicans would set their sights on something else, handle themselves differently? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Tim, I want to circle back to when you said that there are people visibly who are Republicans, visibly in front of people needing to make sure that they're with the party. And then there are people who might think very differently when thinking about President Trump and his influence over the party. And there are people who are further to the right that still have criticisms of the Republican Party right now.
Oh, sure. Regardless of what party you're talking about, Democrats or Republicans, it's always, well, the phrase often used is a big tent. And basically what that means, regardless of whether you're talking one party or the other, is that you're going to have a range of people in there. There's some people, Republicans, you're going to have more conservatives. Some are more moderate. Used to be some even liberal Republicans, especially in the northeast part of the country for members of Congress, but those kind of have been voted out. For Democrats, you've got some that are very what we call progressive these days, and some that are more in the moderate range, maybe even a few kind of conservatives on certain issues. But for the most part, again, there's that range. And so it's always a matter of trying to accommodate the most number of people, if you're talking members of Congress, excuse me, or even voters for that matter.
Hmm. Yeah. And I want to take Steve from Sun Prairie now. We've got Steve who wants to join our conversation, want to hear what Steve thinks. Welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think if you have to look at it through a prism of what Cheney is trying to do politically, you know, I think that most politicians, probably all politicians, they care about themselves first, the party second, and maybe, and I say that lightly, maybe country third. And so I do think he's trying to set herself apart from Trump in order to run kind of how John Kasich ran in 2016 and try to basically establish that wing of the Republican Party. So I think it's just political calculations on her part.
Hmm. Steve, thanks for that. And Steve brings up this idea of you know, really a third party. And there are people who are more moderate in the Republican Party, either floating the idea of starting another party or saying, you know, gosh, the idea is that it's really hard to win if you're outside the party. We have to affect change from the inside. What's your analysis of that, Tim?
Yeah, it's now apparently Cheney was asked directly, and I can't remember who asked her the question, but I saw the clip of her saying that she has no intention of leaving the Republican Party. But certainly other Republicans have said so, and they've talked about this of third party. And usually that kind of talk, whether it's, again, third party having a bunch of Republicans peel off or Democrats peel off, that it's usually going to be just a spoiler. And we saw this in previous elections, if you want to go back, you know, 100 years or so, for the Bull Moose Party and Teddy Roosevelt splitting off from the Republicans that basically threw the election to Woodrow Wilson. Or more recently with Ross Perot in the 92 election and again in 96. So when that happens, it usually hurts one party more than another. On the other hand, if Cheney wants to stay in the party, and as the last caller was saying, and this is a little, I suppose, on the cynic. Excuse me, I'm choking up here, a little on the cynical side, that, you know, she's looking out for herself. And some people have suggested, well, maybe she wants to run for president. Well, I just can't see that, in part because it's very, very difficult to run as a member of the House as opposed to a senator where you're much more visible, or a governor of a state. But again, a small state that Wyoming is, I don't know that she'd have much of a chance. I don't know that she's going to be necessarily challenged that much in Wyoming. So in that sense, I don't know that it's that much of a political calculation within state, unless she's planning on running for the Senate or something, or governor or something of that nature. But still, if she's trying to carve out a more conservative set of the party voters, I think that's going to be a hard sell. She'd be better off with a more sort of moderate liberal folks, because they tend to be the ones that rejected Trump a little bit more. And I don't know that that's going to fly necessarily in Wyoming.
We're talking about the future of the Republican Party here on Central Time with Tim Hagel. He's an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. And Tim, Donald Trump lost the election, but the messaging on that, what Republicans are willing to say and not say, is what we're arguing over here when it comes to Cheney's leadership position that she lost. Is it unusual for a party to publicly stay this close to a candidate who lost?
You know, it depends a little bit. When you think back to Carter, when he lost, that there were great concerns. And it wasn't so much a personal thing with Carter, obviously. Everybody sort of thought he was a very good guy. And, that's the impression that we have even through today. But in terms of his policies, it was a bad time for him. We had inflation and high unemployment and the misery index. And he inherited some of that from the prior administration. Ford was trying to whip inflation now was the little buttons that he had at the time. And it just wasn't going anywhere for him. It wasn't going anywhere for Carter. And so you even had Teddy Kennedy challenging Carter for the nomination in a fairly serious way. So they kind of rejected Carter. With George H.W. Bush, he only one term and lost, and people still liked him, good guy kind of a thing. But again, unusual circumstances. You had the third party challenge from Ross Perot, and the economy hadn't recovered sufficiently, so Clinton was able to win. With Trump, of course, it's a much more personal level, and Trump fought harder in ways that really a lot of people did not like, that they thought it basically was undercutting his ability to make those arguments. And as I said, even some believe that that's what cost the Republicans control of the Senate when they lost the two Georgia races. So there's sort of that additional kind of a thing. But on the other hand, Trump has a very big voice, even though he's been kicked off social media. And as a result of that, if you alienate Trump, you may alienate a whole lot of voters. And again, Republicans don't want to do that. So they have to kind of watch or march a fine line here, walk a fine line, to try to maybe not necessarily fully embrace some of the things Trump was saying, but not reject him totally so as to not alienate those voters. And we'll have to see what happens after the 2022 elections. If the Republicans win, if Trump has helped a lot, maybe that will help a little bit. If Republicans don't win and maybe Trump was seen as a hindrance, then maybe they'll have more calls to reject him outright. Or if nothing else, just to say, okay, it's time to move on. And of course, one of the big interesting questions is what's Trump going to do in 2024? It's certainly going to cause, I think, some consternation on the part of some Republicans, at least, if he decides to try to run again.
What's going to determine whether Republicans, especially in the House, keep making this loyalty to former President Trump a must for prominent members, or if they loosen up on that issue?
I think time will tell. Basically, it's right now it's still pretty fresh in terms of what was going on. We're only a couple of months past, especially the inauguration and the events that happened before it in January. And that's still something that gets talked about a lot. But I think that it's not necessarily a loyalty thing as it is that you can take maybe a neutral position, or just how you message it or how you phrase whatever you're going to do. If you just kind of come out and say, yeah, Trump was terrible for Republicans and I reject that, that's not going to get you anywhere, especially in a leadership position. Probably not among voters either, depending on what your district is, if you're talking members of Congress. But I think that you can handle that in a better way to say, all right, you know, there were good things that Trump did in terms of Republican policies, even if you didn't like some of the things that he did in a personal level. But now it's time to, you know, move forward. And here's our message. And that's certainly one of the things that the Republican leadership is going to want to do, is to come up with whatever message they have in terms of the 2022 elections, things like the economy and what's going on with health care and some of the other things, the policies, of course, that the Biden administration is working on in terms of, say, the border crisis, for example, among other things.
Do you think Republicans in Congress are more unified around former President Trump than actual Republican voters are? And we just have a moment left.
I think the short answer is no, that there's probably a range among them as well. They're just a little bit better at message discipline.
All right. Tim, thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Tim Hagel is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. He joined us to talk about where the Republican Party goes next after House members removed U.S. Representative Liz Cheney as conference chair after her critiques of former President Trump.